And now as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, I want to read to you again some verses from chapter 5. The Gospel according to John, chapter 5, commencing to read at verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow again for prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we draw near into thy holy presence, and we recall that thy word teaches that men ought always to pray and not faint. So we come to thee and we acknowledge thee. We acknowledge thee again as being the great creator, the upholder of all things by the word of thy power. We thank thee, O God, for the manifestation of thy love when thou didst send thy beloved Son to this earth in order to die on the cross and provide salvation for perishing sinners. May thy blessing rest upon each person listening today. Thou knowest what each one stands in need of. O God, meet their need, and we'll be careful to give thee the glory in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, in our last lesson, we were looking at the opening section of chapter 5, and there we found a man who had been lying for 38 years, crippled, helpless, hopeless, just waiting on, expecting something spectacular to happen. But the thing that happened in his life was this, that the Lord Jesus Christ broke right in at an unexpected time, challenged the man and said, Do you really desire to be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? And then you know the result, how he heard the word of the Lord and was obedient to the command of the Lord, was cured. Now, I remind you again that every time the Lord performed a miracle in the record of John, it led to something else. It usually leads on to a discourse. Now, here again, he has performed a miracle. And then the people who saw what had happened to the man, they began to criticize the Lord. And when they knew exactly what had happened, then you remember what I read to you in verse 16, a most remarkable thing. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. In plain words, they could not possibly dispute the fact that this man had been healed. They could not dispute the fact that the Lord Jesus had performed this mighty miracle on the man who had been lying there for 38 years. But what they did do was this, they tried to criticize the timing of it. In plain words, he had no right to do it on the Sabbath day. Now get the point. The Sabbath day itself speaks of rest. God rested on the Sabbath. That was supposed to be the day in which man was to rest. But unfortunately, when sin came in, then you discover that man lost that rest. An unfortunate thing. But then again, we discover this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, then he went about preaching to the people, healing all that were pressed, and he said to them one day, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." In plain words, the Lord Jesus Christ made it perfectly clear to the people who were listening to him that the rest that they were seeking could be found only in Christ. In plain words, he was the true Sabbath. And instead of trying to find the rest on a particular day, or attending to the ceremonials on that day, for remember the man was there at Jerusalem, and it was the time of one of the feasts, yet this man didn't have rest. The Sabbath couldn't bring any rest to him. The ceremonials couldn't bring any rest to him. And I remind you that all the sacrifices slain on Jewish altars had to be repeated. There were daily sacrifices, and there were monthly sacrifices. There were yearly sacrifices. And so it was that these sacrifices had to be repeated again and again, but they could not bring rest or satisfaction to the offerer. And here's the reason, that all these things were simply pointing onwards to the fact that Christ would come and he would be the true sacrifice, and true rest would be found in him. So he claimed that the Sabbath was only a type of himself. Just as the sacrifices were types of Christ, so was the Sabbath. Now, some of you perhaps have never noticed this before, but when you come to the Epistle to the Colossians in chapter 2, here is what we read. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." Now notice, even the Sabbath days of the Old Testament, says the New Testament, these were only a shadow of things to come. See, the Sabbath under the law could never bring the true rest. But when you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true Sabbath. He is able to give rest. And yet, when he cured this man on the Sabbath day and proved that he was the true Sabbath and was able to keep his promise and give rest to the people, then, of course, it's then they come out and they begin to question him and they are opposed to him and they're going to seek to put him to death because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. How ridiculous some people can be. So here we find the confrontation between Christ and these conspirators. This passage of Scripture is a profound presentation of truth from the lips of the Lord Jesus Himself, and sets forth His divine glories as the Son of God. We have drawn your attention then to the criticism of His religious enemies. They profess to respect and honor the Sabbath, but were willing to display hatred of heart, and they were willing to persecute, and they were going to seek to destroy the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, this was a demonstration of the darkness of their unbelief, because the miracle was clear evidence of the divine power of the Son of God. Commencing then at verse 17, we have the claim of the Lord Jesus Christ. His claim is presented and confirmed by many reliable witnesses. First of all, the witness He presented for Himself. I want you to note the three times He uses the expression, verily, verily, or if you like, truly, truly. He says so in verse 19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. It's perfectly true. He claims equality here with the Father. John has made that perfectly clear in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Christ establishes that claim right here. And then when you come to verse 24, He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I want you to notice, then, in these verses, He claims that there is a union and there is equality in the work that is performed. For whatever the Father doeth, the Son doeth. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And so we find in verses 17 through 32, that whatever the Father is able to do, then the Son is able to do. There's a union between Father and Son. There is equality in the work that is performed. Then there is union and equality in the Word that is proclaimed. Now, I emphasize this again, because we have been stressing this in previous studies, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by seeing, it comes by hearing. So therefore, there is equality and union between the Father and the Son with regards to their work. There is union and equality in connection with the Word that is proclaimed. Now in verse 23, He says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent Him. Now I suggest to you that here is what we might call the acid test for the theology of any religious group. We have a great number of religious groups today who are masquerading. They are pretending to be what they are not, because here is the acid test for them. What do they hold or teach or believe with regards to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? If they do not honor Him with the same honor as they would give to the Father, then there's something wrong with their teaching. There is something wrong with their belief. There is something wrong with their theology. You see, there are some people today who will tell you, oh, we believe in the one God, but we do not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. There are those who tell you that Jesus Christ was born just like a man. He was just a man, but He became a God. That is contrary to the teaching of the Holy Scripture. This verse distinctly says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. the same honor given to the one person of the Godhead has got to be given to the other. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him, in plain words. If we refuse to give due honor to the blessed person of the Son of God, it is an insult to God the Father, because we have rejected the testimony of the Father concerning his Son. For he distinctly said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So having shown that there is the union and equality in the work, and union and equality in the word that is proclaimed, he emphasizes this. And he says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly." He places a double emphasis on this. "I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now here is the one brilliant text, as it were, in this particular section. This is a text that has been used over and over again to shed light into some darkened mind. I have asked a number of people on different occasions, discussing with them and talking with them about the things of God, if they really possess eternal life. Do they have everlasting life? Now, I find a great number of religious people today are not sure about this. The fact of the matter is, some people are hoping that by their own works, they may attain to that point where they will become the possessors of this life that comes from God. My friend, listen. This verse makes it very, very clear. The whole thing hinges upon that expression, "my word." He that heareth my word. Now, if we don't lend our ear to what God has got to say to us, you can rest assured we'll never find God's way of salvation. You'll only find the way of salvation when you give attention to what the Bible says. And so the Lord Jesus Christ lays the emphasis here on the fact that there is an absolute union and an absolute equality in connection with the word that is proclaimed. The Father and the Son are one in this, and the Holy Spirit acquiesces in this and gives the power to proclaim the word. And the word is like a seed that is planted in good ground. But we've got to hear. That means we've got to lend the ear with intent to hearing the word of God. It's not a casual hearing. It's inclining the ear in order to catch the word that is spoken, in order to get to know the truth. And he said, "He that heareth my word." Remember, faith cometh by hearing. Then he uses his word again, "believeth." "He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me." So that if we're going to accept the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the exercise of faith also is in God the Father. It's the accepting of the testimony that God has given concerning his beloved Son. "He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath." Now, I love that little word of four letters, H-A-T-H, hath. It simply means present possession. Now, I ask you, are you in possession now of everlasting life? And if your answer is, "Well, I'm not sure." Why aren't you sure? The Bible distinctly says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life," in possession of everlasting life. And here is the full assurance that he gives. If you are in possession of everlasting life, then he says, "You shall not come into condemnation, but you're passed from death unto life." Here is the golden bridge that spans that tremendous chasm from the one side, where men are perishing, to the other side, where they're in a true relationship with God. And to get over that bridge, there's five spans. He that heareth my word and believeth hath, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I ask you, my friend, in all fairness, are you today where you are right now, absolutely sure that you're right with God? Are you in possession of eternal life? Now, if you have got bound up with some kind of religion that tells you that you've got to work and do so much work in order to obtain eternal life, you can rest assured, my friend, you haven't got the right thing. You'll have to get back to God and get back to the Word of God. We've got to bow to what the Scriptures say. And here is the way of salvation as made known in John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus emphasizes it, makes it very plain, very clear. He that heareth my word, have you inclined your ear to listen to the word of the Lord Jesus? Have you exercised faith in what God has said concerning His Son? Then He said, if you do these things, then you're in possession of everlasting life. Remember again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now watch. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, here is the position of men and women apart from Christ. They are reckoned by God to be dead in trespasses and in sins. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ could go into the room where a little girl was lying dead, and He could take her by the hand and speak to her, and she sat up. Just as He stopped the funeral procession and touched the coffin and bid the young man arise, and He gave him back to his widowed mother. Just as He went to the tomb of Lazarus and cried, Lazarus, come forth. In the same sense, He can speak the word, and men and women who are dead in trespasses and in sins can hear the voice of the Son of God. And now He says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, those who are dead in trespasses and in sins, shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And when men and women lend their ear to what the blessed Christ of God has got to say, then they can hear with saving faith. They can live, that is, they can have everlasting life. Now, my friend, I ask you in all fairness, have you ever inclined your ear to the claim and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ?